Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. Shay, I think we're going to spend the next hour talking about Victor Wembanyama out for the
season.
It'll
be less than that. So welcome to the pod. We are going to lead off with our monthly Spurs update. Maddie B, fresh out of going to San Antonio, going home, right. Going to then Austin to watch the women's game against Texas, top five matchup. Mm-hmm. You leave San Antonio, and within 3 days, Wimby is out for the season. For those that are only the most casual or non-NBA fan, Victor Wembanyama is the tallest, longest, baddest young dude in the league. Spurs are better than they were last year. They're not dead last anymore, and they might be now because Victor's out for the rest of the year.
That's right.
After the All-Star break.
Yes, there's your Spurs update. Me and him were partying too hard out there, and you just, you know.
Matthew's stage of grief currently was his first response was tanking for Cooper Flagg out of Duke with heart eye emojis. So
like star eye,
heart through it. Eye. Yeah, work through it, Matty B.
That's what we're doing. That's how we're pushing this. But yes, for LSU fans, that is my state of fandom right now with the Spurs.
He's hurting.
We're going through.
I mean, we're recording this podcast mere hours after the news broke.
Yes, I had to compose myself the last 2 hours. So here we are. All right, well, mailbag.
It's only Bengal Tiger subscriber questions. And right now, we always do the dollar deal, but right now you can get an annual membership for $1 a week. So I don't know how long that's going to last. So jump on it if you can to support us.
I mean, that's better than a week. Everybody that's better than 50% that. Off the year.
It is, correct. That's good math. $1 a week. Most folks can swing it, but obviously Matthew and I are there bringing everything to the board, to the Bengal Tiger on three. Tyler, who many of y'all know, Harden, senior at LSU, tons of recruiting updates. And then Julian Jarrett have just been cranking out content. Jarrett giving his views of really Matty B, the upcoming two cycles in Louisiana, and he hits the road more than anybody to know what these high school kids are up to. And Julie getting a one-on-one exclusive with LSU DC Blake Baker that she's been rolling out different pieces on, everything from Harold Perkins to the guys going pro to guys returning to the transfers. So some of that still hadn't even dropped yet. So $1 a week, the Bengal Tiger. And if you remember on the board, you get to submit a question for the podcast, which we will begin now.
Let's jump into it.
And we've jumped right into it. Of course, the very first question from Michael Gary Scott, frequent poster, wants to know our updated prediction, which we do each podcast pretty much, and whether Ness wins the Heisman. I don't know if he's still odds on favorite, but he made headlines when Garrett Nussmeyer at one point debuted as the odds on favorite.
I think Arch has passed him as of like a week or two ago when I checked. I think Arch had passed him at like plus 700 or so. And so it's all long shots. You know, there's no clear favorite here, I think.
No. Okay. On FanDuel, official partner of On Three and the Bengal Tiger, official lines provider. Nuss plus 800, Arch plus 900, Cade Klubnik plus 1,000. For those that don't know, Klubnik is Clemson's quarterback, and LSU travels to Clemson in week one. So you've got a battle of two of the top quarterbacks, certainly in college football next year, and two of the guys viewed as potential Heisman winners. I would imagine that game goes a long way if one of them can make a statement in it.
Yes, definitely. Kind of like Georgia-Clemson last year, where Georgia ran them out the building and kind of, even though they weren't perfect, kind of cruised to get to the SEC title game and make their run. Record prediction before going into spring. We've talked about it before, like the line is at 8.5. I think I'm definitely on the over there. The question for me becomes between 9 and 10. I think all LSU fans are like, has to be a 10 win season this year. You got to get to 10-2, so on and so forth. Ultimately, you know, we read through the message board, we read through people talking. It's like, well, if they're 9-3 and they make the playoffs, it's still not, it's not a failure of a year, right? Because if you make the playoffs, that's the goal for any program and for any team right now at LSU right now. I'm juggling between 9 and 10. I think Nussmeyer alone gives you the ceiling that you want, right? If you're talking national title contender and you're talking about a team that can compete with anybody. So there I lean with 10, but then there are so many questions that I'm going to have answered throughout spring and summer and fall that it's like,
and the season.
Yeah. Right? And the first season, month,
like, when you know who's actually going to be a guy you rely on and not.
Yeah. Like we could have a starting depth chart projection out, and you know, we have had one and we will have another one before spring ball starts, but it's like, by the time fall comes around, there's going to be 4 or 5 changes to that. I mean, who knows? People will merge and stuff. I say all that to say I'll stick with 10-2 right now, but you know, I could be swayed either way.
Yeah, I can go 9 or 10. But again, over the 8.5 that Vegas has put out there, SEC's tough, but I mean, the schedule's always going to be tough, but you play OU and not Texas.
Yeah.
You do open with Clemson in week 1, but they know they have to get a win. They'll be dialed in. I mean, they can't continue to drop these openers, which they've done a number of years in a row now, 4, 5 maybe. But I'll go with what you said. When your quarterback is the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman, and let's just toss that aside. Like, he is one of the best quarterbacks out there, and he can win you games. And he makes a jump from year 1 to year 2 as a starter. That's a nut. And then you throw in on paper what they have. That's a 9-win team. That should be the floor. I think that we will learn, as you said, about this team, because I think what makes it, or what really strengthens it, right, is DJ, like incoming freshmen like DJ Pickett and Harlan Berry, or transfers. And I could name 10 plus of them.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any of them yet in person. The coaches have, but spring ball, summer workouts, fall camp, get a good feel for kind of who they're going to rely on. And then I think I'll probably settle into 10. There's no way I can't see this team going 8-4. There's way too much talent, returning talent. And yes, you're shuffling the O-line again, but Nussmeier is a very good quarterback, like one of the best in the country. And that gets you a lot of wins.
Yeah. I think offensively, they're going to be significantly better than they were last year. And then I believe, and we believe in Blake Baker and the defensive talent being better than it was and having more continuity. So just on that alone, I feel comfortable going over 8.5 there. As far as Nuss winning the Heisman, he's the odds on favorite. I will say something that could work in his favor, because even if LSU doesn't go 12-0 or 11-1, the past 2 years, Jaden Daniels was 9-3. And last year, Travis Hunter, obviously they weren't in the playoff hunt. So it's like, I don't know if it's been a change on purpose, but it kind of feels like, okay, no, this is the best player in the country. Give him the Heisman Award. It's not as much as, you know, a Dylan Gabriel at Oregon, go win, give him the Heisman or something. It's not just best player on best team.
Okay. And you'll have to factor in that it happens before they hand out the trophy and the voting comes in. Deloitte gives the results before any playoff game. So it's not like someone can get hot in the playoffs and that's what wins it for them. So I think LSU's a playoff team, which would mean they did well enough in the season to put themselves at 9 or 10 wins or maybe more. And if they did that, that would mean Garrett Nussmeier probably de facto played pretty well. So I agree that he's a top 3 odds on that I would feel best about. That being said, I mean, you could just put
him. If you had to pick someone other than Garrett,
I'll go Jeremiah Smith at +1200 and say, if a guy like that again just goes off to an even higher degree. Like, LSU's going to split their receiver stuff up between a lot of guys. Like, Jeremiah Smith, even with Ohio State having a million receivers, can go out there and dominate a year. So, if a non-quarterback were to get it, I'm definitely picking him.
Yeah,
Other than that, I would just pick the quarterback on whatever team you think is going to win the national championship.
Yeah. I think, you know, Garrett and Cade will kind of play that first game. And I think a lot of whoever wins that game and whoever plays better in that game, it's going to be hard to get that out of your head whenever you're thinking about who the better player just in week 10 or week 11. You're like, well, they played and Garrett was phenomenal or Cade was phenomenal and so on. So spent a lot of time on that first question, but
yeah. Look, a good bet maybe further down the board too is if Florida somehow makes a run this year and is a really good team, Lagway is going to be responsible for that. Yeah. You get him at +2000.
Yeah. Damn.
Plenty of time to chat on that. But I don't know. I'd put him in the top few and I think that's fair.
Yeah.
They clearly want you to bet on him or try to grab him right now. So,
yeah.
All right, Jay Reyes of 1650. Who has a better season next year, Whit Weeks or Harold Perkins? If you read Julie's story and stories from Baker, he touches on both players, but Perkins is back. Let's just fast forward, right, Matty B? He got injured. Let's presume he's healthy when the season's rolling around, or at least within that first month before SEC play really kicks up, and then he's good to go, right? And then we can call all things equal between the two. This argument has to be based off of Harold Perkins going back to doing what he did before, more so of what he did as a freshman, right? Like playing an outside linebacker, start, whatever you want to call it. And Whit Weeks is a middle linebacker or a middle backer. Harold's freshman year was 72 tackles, 14 games, eight starts, 72 tackles, about 40 solo, four forced fumbles, a pick. Two PBUs, so three passes blocked down, so five total, 13 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks. Okay, yeah. So really it makes sense of all those numbers. Eclipsed 70 tackles, had 7.5 sacks, and got double-digit TFLs. Weeks, you'd obviously look at this past year. 125 tackles, not evenly split between solo and assisted. He had 10 tackles for loss and 3.5 sacks, so a little short on the tackle for loss number, a few short on the sack number, and very similar in forced fumbles and picks. In fact, exactly the same. So Perkins more sacks maybe, but Weeks more tackles certainly.
Yeah, I think Whit Weeks has a better season than Harold Perkins next year. I think Harold Perkins is going to have highlight plays. I think he'll be able to make an impact. I am ultimately of the belief right now in my head, I just need to see it to believe it at this point. This has been now back-to-back years where it's been like Matt House had a plan.
We have seen it.
It didn't work.
We've seen it.
We saw something like it. We saw the athleticism. We haven't seen it in a structured, like with a purpose before. Like Matt House had a plan, didn't work. Blake Baker comes in, has a plan, doesn't really work. Then he gets hurt. Maybe it's unfair to say it didn't work. But
well, and I think still, too, that was sticking to the Harold Perkins NFL future plan of he needs reps at middle backer. Like,
yeah, but I think the position he wants to play. The debate has been fascinating between people the past however many – well, really since Julie's story. Julie did an awesome job, again, talking to Blake Baker and saying that he was going to play star to start the season. And LSU fans are obviously very excited by that, as they should be. My stance on that is that nobody knows, despite people thinking that they know, nobody knows exactly how this is going to play out. I watched Harold Perkins in fall camp last year, 2 weeks before the opening game of the season, and he was a maniac. He was making plays on like every single down. He was everywhere on the field. And then they get in the games and it doesn't look the same. So I'm telling you right now, from my perspective, I don't think anybody knows what it's going to look like this year. Blake Baker had an idea last year and it didn't go the way he thought. Like it's not going to be.
I think that the ceiling though is better at the star outside linebacker than middle. So just knowing that, and after seeing him play both, I think he's going to be better doing this again.
I think so.
Not better than Weeks. I think he's going to be good. I think Harold will be a very, very big piece of this defense.
I hope so. I hope so. I think Whit Weeks, for sure, no doubter, is going to reach however many tackles he had last year. And I think he's going to improve as a run defender. He's going to improve in areas like we saw him take a step forward from freshman to sophomore year. I think Whit Weeks is an all-conference caliber linebacker. So I think Whit Weeks is my pick here.
Yes, I agree. Nola Gumbo 41, do y'all think we had any more players from the portal when the spring window opens? Yes. Now, here's the good thing. There is no bargain shopping in the spring, right? We saw everybody last year. If you're in the spring, you're getting 3X your value NIL-wise. Most notably, if you're at a premium position, that was defensive tackle a year ago. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'd say LSU would take a DT if they were out there to just continue to build that depth. Priority would be safety. Maybe another alignment if it's the right guy who pops up, but I think that that's going to be evaluated through spring ball, right? And then they know what they have. They know which guys then might leave if you need a little depth play somewhere. But I will say, yeah, they will add at least one player with those D with DTO line and most notably safety at the top is priority.
Yeah, I agree. There definitely will be, I mean, for every single team in the country, there will be players that enter the portal after the spring window, I assume. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's like 95%, but it's going to be a lot. And, you know, you go from there. The needs of each team will dictate how much they want to spend, and LSU's in that boat. So, yeah, we'll see.
Hokemojo, longtime member, jumps into the chat for not often does, but here he is. Two-parter. I wrote a story this week, Maddie B, about Matt McMahon and the basketball team, and that, you know, anyone who is wondering what the future holds after year three, it's that he's got the full support of the administration, and they're going to be trying and really making an effort to up the NIL budget. And I wrote about this in the story, and all the numbers are in there for a number of different teams. Mm-hmm. But LSU and South Carolina had the lowest NIL budget for basketball this past offseason. There's five games left in the regular season. They're the two lowest team. You know, they're the two bottom teams of the SEC standings. The third lowest was Oklahoma. They're the third team at the bottom. So there is a direct correlation here, Maddie B, between the lower spent, the teams that didn't have that money, and what the results look like. And look, I know Jalen Reed got hurt. I know Tyrell Ward was gone. I get it. They played games without Collins, but at the end of the day, when you have that big of a sample size and those three teams have the least money and they're at the bottom of the standings, it says something. This is coming off a year when what South Carolina's head coach was coach of the year last year.
Yep.
Missouri went 0-18 in SEC play last year. They just crushed Bama. They're going to the tourney. They're going to have a very nice seed in the tourney, and they up their NIL budget. And two that I referenced, Ole Miss and State, upped it in a big way, went over $5 million. Both of them have been in the top 25 all year, in and out. They'll both make the tournament probably. So
yep.
They're right now in the arms race of what's called the deepest SEC that there's been, and you've added Texas and OU. Hoko's basically asking, when LSU says, hey, we'll put more NIL resources into basketball, what does it mean? Because by your traditions, you can donate by sport. He assumes most of those donations go to football. That's probably true. I don't have the numbers. But I think it's a more concerted effort. We saw Kelly with the $1 million match, right? And him being very vocal about, hey, we need to go to the portal and get the best players. I think they'll probably be more vocal this offseason, Maddie B, about we need basketball NIL. That's McMahon getting in front of people. That's boosters. That's donating to Bayou Traditions. I think it's an umbrella that covers a lot. But yeah. I think they'll really put an emphasis on saying, hey, what does it take to go out and get X, Y, and Z that improves this team, and how can we get there?
Yeah. I think you covered it well. I don't have too much to add. All I'll say is I've looked across the country, and a lot of these have, which is the case in football as well, heck, there are individual boosters and people that are almost single-handedly like funding basketball teams, because it's easier to fund a basketball team than it is a football team, obviously.
Sure.
You know, you get the Bryce Underwood situation and whatnot, but like, If you donate $1 million to a basketball team, you can get, heck, two high-level players or something like that, or one huge, extremely high-level player. So I've seen a lot more individuals start to contribute to basketball across the country. I think that's maybe where LSU needs to, because I think he's right from a fan perspective. A lot of it is proof of concept. People are not going to donate to LSU basketball until they start winning, which, you know, doesn't make sense because you need the money to win and so on. But I think it's going to take a few, you know, high leverage boosters and people to really make a difference here.
Well, if you want to go out and watch some good SEC basketball, Maddie B, they're hosting some top five teams here coming up. So you can watch Florida, Tennessee, all those teams play. But I do think that's what it'll be. It'll be more of a push, as Maddie B said, behind the scenes, publicly, everything to say, hey, we need to catch up here on the men's basketball front. And then he asked, what do we think about the O-line next year? Can we be more effective running the football? It's too early to know about the O-line, right? Because we don't even know who the starters will be. Two of them are transfers. On paper, it looks good. They've recruited so well. They've got depth. They retained good depth. Beyond Zaylance Hurd, they really haven't had a transfer on the O-line that stings them. So we'll see in spring and fall. I think it's too early to answer, but I do expect that they'll be solid. I don't think it's a Swiss cheese unit by any means. And if someone isn't good, they'll put someone else in because they've got like 8 or 9 guys that definitely will be in the mix to play. Running it and being effective, mm-hmm. I mean, you can answer it, but I think actually the guys that are on the roster O-line and in that mix to start are better run protect, like better in the run game than what they started a year ago, which was a very talented front five.
Yeah, there's so many questions with this unit. It's like, for instance, Josh Thompson, who I think is a very, very good run blocker and who was my top transfer, like my top ranked transfer in the entire class. He had
on threes as well.
Yeah, so is he going to play guard or do they need him to play tackle? Like, I think he's going to play guard, but if they get desperate at tackle, will they bump him outside? You know, Cohen Echols, can he break through? Who I think he's a good player. Will one of the freshmen break through?
They loved Mabenga at the end of the year.
Yeah, Mabenga got in the game and was fine. I mean, Bordelon came in and was fine. It's like there's so many questions here. I do expect it to be a good offensive line. I don't think it will be a great offensive line. I don't think anybody's expecting it to be, you know, Joe Moore Award finalist here.
We're listing out a bunch of guys who are largely considered to be guards and interior players. Tyree Adams, left tackle, and
yeah.
Perhaps it's Weston Davis, a former 5-star right tackle. And look, Tyree Adams was a top 100 prospect coming out of high school in New Orleans. So like, he's waited his turn. He's developed his body. He'll take over that spot. And then at right tackle, or Kern, a 5-star offensive lineman they signed that could play guard or tackle. So as I said, I think they go 8 or 9 deep on like options you can choose from. DJ Chester's out there still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good unit. I don't think it'll be a great unit, but it will be serviceable. And then ultimately you have to, between the addition of Atkins and the emphasis on the run game, you hope that will make a significant difference in this offense. So
I also think too, Caden Durham in year two, but then adding this class of JT Lindsey and Harlan Berry, and Harlan being a pass catcher that really goes sideline to sideline or whatever, makes it easier on the O-line, right? We can pull a guy, whatever, but if we're running, you know, pitch plays and getting him into space, it's not, hey, we're having to straight up block and get 2 yards on every play type thing. So I do think they'll be more improved. T. Corley, 1226, thoughts on starters for each position on offense and defense. This would be impossible for us to know, but excluding the obvious, hot takes are welcome. We broke this down on last week's podcast a good bit. Let's go with the hot take side of this one.
Yeah, like are there any hot takes?
What's a hot take that you would have for a starter? Like I don't think it's a hot take to say Nick Anderson could just go off as a transfer coming out of Oklahoma because he did that at Oklahoma a year ago when he was healthy.
Let's think. Hot take. Is Gabe Rutherford starting a hot take?
That'd be a hot take.
It is? Okay. Yeah. Sign me up. Gabe Rutherford, I think. Going into year two is someone
at
I think
the end at edge.
I mean, they've talked about edge a little bit. I think he is quick enough to play that kind of edge spot. But I'd also look at Patrick Payton as potentially looking at edge spot. I think they're versatile enough with Payton, Relaford, Pyburn, you know, Butler, that group to kind of mold them throughout the offseason to kind of figure out where they want to play, and they can play in different packages potentially. Relaford to me is even the most versatile of that group, because I think he can put his hand in the dirt and in different techniques and play, and then he can also rush off the edge. So I think he's in line to have a really strong year, and I think he could beat out one of these upperclassmen for a starter either at end or edge.
I don't know if I'd have a hot take. I mean, I think Pickett starts day one, which I think is, some people do consider that to be a hot take because the odds may not be in his favor if they go to Clemson and say, hey, we'll put you into the game, but maybe not right out of the gates. I think he's a day one starter at corner.
All right, here, we don't have to spend too long on this, but do both of the sophomores start at D tackle, McKinley Breaux? Because that's
who else do they have? I think that's one of Guillory. The worry positions. Oh, Guillory, that's right. Well, that's situational. Guillory's
it is situational.
Knows.
It is. But like, you know, those type of things.
I do think those are the top three.
Yeah. So the other linebacker spot is the only other one I can think of. I have penciled in Devon Keyes, you know, maybe
West
Week.
Yeah, he had a great end of the year.
Maybe West Week comes in and takes it. One of those two, but neither one feels like a
hot take. All right, I'll have a hot take. I think that if Destin Hill's healthy through the offseason into fall camp, that he will play a role on offense. I don't think anybody's thinking that's going to happen because they're so deep a receiver. Yeah.
That would be a hot take. I like it.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, the only
like I think people would have him behind Kyle Parker in that group. So like,
yeah, somewhere in that range. I'll throw out. I don't know. We're getting too deep into the weeds here.
You hot taked it too much.
Yeah, Deshaun Spears starting a safety. There you go.
We had hot. Well,
hot take.
Toviano.
Do not hold me to these. I'm gonna put out a disclaimer right now. Do not hold me to these. Yeah. But I'm just gonna throw.
We'll get one more here, and then we'll quick add it, and then we'll wrap up. Maddie B. Debut 1996 said how many in-state top 10 guys in recruiting for this class does LSU land? I'll do a recruiting pod soon, but I can answer this one because I have the list in front of me. Lamar Brown is at U High here on campus at LSU. Mm-hmm. He's the number one interior O lineman in America. He can also play D line. He's uncommitted. I think he picks LSU. The number two player is also a Baton Rouge kid. He's over at Catholic in Blaine Bradford. Safety, number one safety in the country. He's uncommitted. I think he picks LSU. His brother Jacob, talented four-star safety, just signed with LSU in December. Numbers three and four both go to Edna Carr, Richard Anderson, and Aiden Hall. Anderson's the number two D lineman in America. Hall's the top five safety. They're both already committed to LSU. I don't think that LSU loses out on Carr kids when they really want them, so I think they stick. The most recent commitment is the number five player in the state, a top 10 offensive tackle in America, Bryson Martinez out of East Ascension. So racking up on commits there. Jabari Mack, Destrehan, I would put that right up with Carr, neck and neck, if not above, of schools. LSU just has a stranglehold on them. If they want Destrehan kids, they get them. Mack uncommitted, but he is a top 100 player receiver. They already have two of the other top receivers in the state committed, in Kenny Darby, who's the number seven player in the state, and Ja'Kai Anderson, number 10. I'll add Mack to that list. My on-through RPM pick has been in for him for a while. And then that leaves us with two other guys in the top 10, Dylan Berryman, Darius McKinley, two D linemen. Darius McKinley is goes to Acadiana. He is Dominic McKinley's little brother, who we just talked about, starting at D tackle for LSU this year. I think he goes to LSU. So my one wild card would be Dylan Berryman, but he's named LSU's leader before. He's a Monroe kid, playing at Wachita Parish. I think that ultimately the relationship with the staff, Bo Davis, all that will pay off and they get him. So in what is a very deep Louisiana class, I'll go right now that they are the team to beat for all 10 of them. Half of them are committed already.
I got the headline. Shea guarantees 10 for 10.
That's what I said. I did 5 for 5 once.
10 for 10. Went 2 for 5. Let's go.
Time for 10 for 10. All right, let's do a quick ad read here. Yep. My Perfect Franchise. You guys know him every week. Andy Ludeke. He is a franchise consultant. He's been a franchise owner for decades. He's done consulting for decades. And right now, twofold of what he's done in the new year for On Three, for the Bengal Tiger. One, any business that comes from Andy, which is completely free. When you call him, you email him, you reach out, you talk about any questions you might have about how do franchises work? How can I get into one? I already own some. What are your thoughts on this? Anything you could have for him, any sort of hobby you enjoy, is this something I could get into that's out there? How much does it cost time-wise? All that. He deals with it on every level. You never pay him. Never pay him a dime. He'll never ask for the credit card info, nothing. What he'll do is walk you through all the steps, get you the education you need. And then if you do end up with getting in on a franchise, whatever it might be, starting one, that's when he would get a cut back from the franchise. So Andy's here just completely giving out his help to On Three and the Bengal Tiger fans for free until he could get a deal. And he always feels like helping folks out and getting a deal pays off in the end. He is a big Texas fan, but what he's doing because of how much he loves Texas baseball and SEC baseball is he's kicking back out of what he would get from each deal to that school's baseball collective. So he'll get on the Bayou Traditions, he'll pick baseball, and he will donate to LSU. For any LSU fans. So hit him up, andy@myperfectfranchise.net, or call him at 404-973-9901. You see it on the screen if you're on YouTube, but it's Andy, A-N-D-Y, at myperfectfranchise.net. Check out his website, all that. We've had a ton of Bengals Tiger subscribers, get with Andy, many of which have led to business ventures. So we're happy to be rocking in the new year and adding the baseball collective side to it, Matty B.
Yes, sir. Shout out, Andy.
All right, we don't have many more, so we can kind of roll right through this. Tiger Rider says,
J87.
Where we are at J87. Thoughts on Baker confirming that Harold will play star in his interview with Julie, and how does that change your view of the DB transfers like Delaney? I always thought Perkins would play star anyways. I think Delaney's going to play corner, and if he has to, he could play nickel, but I think that he's your most experienced corner. There's no reason not to play him there.
The Delaney aspect of it, if I start there, is really fascinating because I think Jackson and Pickett are like the ideal setup for Corey Raymond on the perimeter.
Yeah, that's fine.
They've combined for two starts in their career, so it's like
Delaney's got like 35 starts.
Yeah, so the odds that one of them, you know, isn't quite ready yet, week one, week two, is fairly high, I would say. So then Delaney slides in at corner. I think he's a good corner. I don't think he's like an elite corner, obviously, but you know, when you get Pickett and Jackson, that's kind of the hope, is that they have that upside. But Delaney's a very good player. And like we talked about, he can play safety, nickel, wherever you want. I think he could play star if he wanted to, if they wanted him to. He's a very good tackler. So it doesn't change my view of Delaney at all. As for Perkins playing the star, I've kind of talked about it. I think it's another experiment and it could work. And Perkins has incredible speed, athleticism that could make it work. But at the same time, I think Baker, no matter what, no matter how much or where he plays Perkins, will have to be creative with packages. We'll have to take into account situations. Like, you can't have Perkins out there in certain spots, and you just have to, you know, sub him out with a nickel, so on. Like, it's going to be complicated.
I'm still stuck on this star position being viewed, and I guess I get it. Matt House to Blake Baker, different schemes. But the second iteration of something can't be the testing something out. We've seen it before, like right? Like, see ball, get ball. If that's the – and that's he not, covered well that year, though. He was one of the better pass covers on the team.
Yeah, I don't think he played as much, like, coverage and star stuff as he'll have to play this year. That see ball, get ball thing, I think it's great in theory, but I think it's going to be situational at times. And I do think he can cover, but not as a nickel, right? Like, he can cover as a linebacker, which is different. Like, there's different routes you can cover, things you can cover. So it is very complicated.
I'm just siding with he's back at a position I feel way better about ceiling of success the ceiling on.
Yeah.
Than I did where he was his prior year.
If it works, LSU's defense will be on an absolute another level. I just think there is an if factor to it that
I agree. And J87 asked, what's the one thing we're looking for in spring ball or the game? The game, I'll eliminate nothing that will change your outlook on the upcoming season in a more positive way. I've got a two word answer: transfer portal. I know what the rest of these guys look like. Their improvement can be what it is. I don't know what any of these transfers look like. And if they go out there and by practice 10 or 11, you're like, these Barry and Brown, Nick Anderson, Pyburn, Patrick Payton from Florida State. If you're like, this dude's an absolute monster, like the DBs, Pickett, I'll toss the true freshman in there that we expect to play. So,
but
that's all I'm looking for.
Honestly, maybe I'm overstating this, but like, I feel like I might know more about the freshmen that are coming in than I do even the transfers, like in terms of like what to expect this season from 100%. Them. Like, I know what I'm expecting from LaFleur, Kern, Francis, you know, Pickett, like those guys I think can contribute in certain situations, but
I think it's also understood what an elite talent like those guys, Caris Kern's one of them, maybe the most athletic lineman in the country. what the jump is from high school to the SEC.
Yeah.
As we've talked about before, like Delaney could be the best transfer they have, but I don't know what the jump from the ACC playing DB to the SEC is.
Correct.
And that's for every guy out there.
Yeah. We've seen it work and we've seen it fail. Like we've seen it go both ways there. So we're super high on this transfer class. Everybody's super high on this transfer class. There will be a random bust or two that's like, oh, this guy just didn't quite pan out. And that's fine. That's how it works. There'll also be guys that surprise us. So I agree with you. Transfers will be the main thing. If we're talking positionally, I will stick at offensive line and offensive tackle in particular. I pencil in Tyree Adams on one side. Yes. The other one is, I think, very interesting to me. Is it Weston Davis? Is it somebody else?
I agree, obviously. And my mind kind of played in there because some transfers are guys we think are going to start. Miss Lynn Alarm, 92, also a frequent poster. Shout out to my man. Deepest position on the football team. I think it is talent-wise wide receiver. Yes. I actually don't know. Like, you would consider to carry on average about 12 guys at receiver. I don't know how many they have, but top to bottom, I'll rock with all of them. So that's what I would consider. If you mean deep in that regard, I would say that. I thought about this question for a minute. No, I didn't, for like 5 seconds. And then I tried to convince myself that can't be true. And then I'm back to it. I think the deepest position might be the one with the question mark on it. O-line. I think they have some really good options and they got transfers and they could add another transfer. Like it's deep. I just also don't know who's going to start.
It is. No, that's a good point. Cause when I read the question, I also thought receiver. I think that's kind of just where I'm going, because in theory, like you have however many players, like Teron Francis, I think everybody agrees is going to be a very good player here and is physically ready to play right away. But I don't know if they need him to play right away. Like maybe take
no. I mean, we saw what all four freshmen took red shirts 2 years ago.
Yeah, like I don't like that's how good it is. Where I think as last year, if Teron Francis was on like last year's team, I think he gets on the field like no matter what. And this year, I'm not sure if that's the case. So that's just like one example, for instance, of a receiver that I think is very good that you know maybe buried a little bit. That's probably the answer. Like you said, O-line. I think tight end is in a much better position, especially if Donovan Green is healthy and JD LaFleur can come in and play. So that's in theory a deep group, but yeah, I think those are good answers.
Go 63 asks a question that I think it's a good question relative to this team, but I also think it's a good question because it makes a point that I don't think people realize. And they did maybe in the last spring portal window, but it's about DTs, defensive tackles. He said, and what was a great portal season for LSU, they only made one addition at DT. It was Sadir Mitchell out of Texas, the guy Bo Davis, who, before he came to LSU, coached at Texas and recruited and signed there. He's not an obvious instant starter. He's a depth piece. Do we view this relative lack of investment at the position as more of an endorsement on the staff, the guys on roster, or reflection of a lack of available talent in the position of the portal? The answer is the third one for all teams. And Charles Power, who runs our rankings, talks about this a ton, so does Cody Blair, who also runs our rankings, that DT is the one position where there's your couple five stars, and then it's just you got to pick who you like. It is one of the shallowest positions out there in terms of really high top-end talent, 50 of them, where everyone gets a piece of the pie. So I think that then when you add in portal, so you've got to rely on guys even being in, and then they have a high price tag. We saw it last spring. I think that there just wasn't a lot going on portal wise at DT where everyone was out there hosting guys. And sure, they would love to probably add a DT or more, but I think you also say, hey, let's develop the guys we've got. If we can get another good, but we're not going to go overspend if the guys aren't out there that can match what we can do.
Yeah. And this is what makes Bo Davis such a high level coach is he did this at Texas. His strength is development at defensive tackle. So you don't have to break the bank and go get X amount of five stars or X amount of transfers to have a serviceable, or if not very good, room. Like, we saw him put players in the NFL from Texas that were high three-star guys. And we've seen him now, you know, with this 2025 class, adding Sidir Mitchell, adding four players that aren't five stars, but they're good players. And he's going to continue to develop them. He's going to continue to develop Ahmad Breaux and Dominic McKinley. So that's his strength. And I think that plays into, honestly, what you have to be as a defensive tackle coach in college football nowadays, because it is so hard to go get these multiple five-star dudes and these multiple high-impact transfers as defensive tackles.
I think you answered Go 63's other question too, which was, look, LSU actively upgraded so many other areas. Granted, look, they got Patrick Payton. If you consider D-line to be edge as well, they added multiple guys there. But can we expect the D-line in general to step up from where they were last year? I think that the Bo Davis and Kevin Peoples effect as developmental coaches is something that will take that unit a big step forward with each individual guy that's back, like McKinley, Breaux, Guillory, and so forth. So, yes, I think that absolutely that we'll see them be better, because I think that they'll be in year two of being coached by a really good two punch of a staff and Baker at DC. Nola Fan has two stupid questions, he said. Who do you not want to run into a dark alley on the football team? Mean on the field, a dog. Weeks,
I mean, man. Weeks' ankle was like opposite direction.
Oh, I'm picking Weeks, because he might have Brahm in a real, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Like, you could hit Whit Weeks. I feel like he got in a fight. He'd be one of those guys smiling like as you punch him. So it's like
Gardner Johnson. He'll instigate it. He'll get punched and then just stand there and eat him and laugh at you. So
exactly. Sure.
We'll go there. Favorite Spur of all time. Victor Wembanyama. Okay.
Least favorite Spur of all time. Zach Collins. Just traded him. Thank God.
These are the stages of grief you're dealing with. Now you're talking about how happy you are your least favorite player got traded.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, work through it, Matty B. Tiger Ryder, what younger players and portal additions are standing out in early offseason workouts? I actually just got some tidbits on this morning. I'll save those for the site.
Yes.
But I will say that Matty B's boy, who actually they put a video out about today that he picked earlier, Gabe Relaford's making some noise right now. He would fall into the younger player category, obviously. I've told you all about Pickett and Barry already. And there's a few transfers that I think are starting to kind of really, through work with the strength and conditioning staff, show like this guy's an absolute dude. And Nick Anderson's one of them coming out of OU. So healthy again, he's going to be good. JD the Tiger says, a longtime caller, first time listener. Still a believer in Brian Kelly, he says. He thinks he'll lead LSU back to the promised land, but to play devil's advocate, if he did not have a 10-year contract, do you think he'd be on a blazing hot seat this year? With how you can turn a roster over in today's game and the expectation is to be close to your ceiling by the start of year three, I think the contract's the only reason he's not sweating bullets. I think the whole idea of any year three anymore is thrown out the window through NIL and the portal. I don't think that that matters anymore. Like, you could be in year 10. You could be Dabo. You could be in year whatever and have won championships. And if you didn't just go hit the portal and you lay an egg in a season when you should have had a good year and gone to the playoffs and done all this, you're catching heat over that. So I think what Brian Kelly just did, whether he has a 10-year contract, a 3-year, anything, was recognize, I came here to win a championship. Before, it was just built in advantage of Louisiana, SEC. Well, now we're in a 12-team playoff. Now we have NIL, and he has to go with the times. And he went all in on the NIL push in December. They had a great high school class. They had a great portal class, maybe one of the best, if not the best. So, no, I don't think he'd be on a blazing hot seat. I think that the whole dynamic of how an AD views a head coach, even beyond the salary, has to change because everything around them changed.
I think Brian Kelly petitioning and banging on the table for more NIL kind of, I don't want to say reset, because the first 3 years definitely mattered, but this, it entered a different time where, like, now there is a bigger financial commitment to him, like beyond just his salary, to where this program is now expected to be a playoff team. Like, the past few years, they were hoping to be a playoff team. I think there's now an expectation now of LSU spending this money in the portal, spending this money in the freshman class, and say, all right, it's no longer a secret what we have to do. And we've done that. You know, that's what fans think, is that we've done that. We've paid the ante that he said we had to pay to sit at the table. Now we need to sit at the table. So I don't think it would, I think it's kind of reset in a way. I don't think he would be sweating bullets if the contract was different, but I do think the expectation is now raised from where it was the past couple years, even though I understand LSU's expectations always to compete for championships and win championships. It's just different now.
He did say additionally after year one, would there have been more urgency in the portal to continue the success rather than let's try to build this through high school recruiting? You've talked about it a lot. That year one portal class was quietly really good for him, and not so quietly with like Jaden and them.
Yeah, made the SEC championship
corner and all that. Yeah. So like they didn't go heavy that next year, and then they had a lot of holes this past year and deficiencies that showed up. I think, of course, he would go back and have more urgency, but I do not think for one second they are bailing on high school recruiting and signing 25 plus high school guys being the foundation of how you sustain a program. Yeah, Portal hunting every year ain't going to do it. But I do think he's understanding that there's a balance of a little bit more aggressive in the portal than I thought we'd always have to be, but I'm not budging on 25 to 30 high school signees.
I agree. It's, and fans have come around, like it feels like they've done like a complete 180 from like where they were last year. It's like, laughing at whether it's Ole Miss or Florida State or whatever. And, you know, for a good reason, you know, it's hit or miss in the portal, but now it's like, just go get portal guys. It's like, no, you still need to build a foundation of and depth through high school and see who obviously becomes great players from Louisiana.
My man, Mitch Husser, 24, said, when will we get a class prediction 1.0 or hot board for 2026? I will drop both of those next week. I've got enough intel now. So I'll make a post to the board starting Monday. We'll roll out one each day of hot boards position-wise and predictions. Maybe we can lead up to a prediction. But my kid's coming. Capital City Tiger 21, Bengal Tiger meetup in Omaha for College World Series. Absolutely. We'll be there.
Yeah, man. I don't know if you've heard.
We'll be there. I actually saw Capital City after the baseball game the other day. Saw them in person.
There you go. I mean, hey, they're 4-0. They've beaten the school of the blind, the school of the deaf. They're
Southern game. Southern's not bad.
Southern. I wish they played Nichols. I wish they would have played Nichols yesterday, because that's actually, you know, I think a step up substantially there, but got rescheduled.
This last one here is a good pop culture / college football reality, but my man C Money Case, are spring games for football eventually going to just be, you know.
Yeah, he worded it weirdly. Sorry.
Get rid of them. Are they going to get rid of them?
Yeah.
This is coming. Texas and Southern Cal followed Nebraska, who sells out their spring games by saying, we're not doing a spring game this year. We're not doing it anymore. Variety of reasons. Look, Chris Del Conte at Texas said they just need to reimagine what a spring game looks like. They said with playoffs, we've already played four extra games. Now we're practicing 14 times. Do we really need to go out and have a glorified walkthrough? You know,
it is crazy. It is crazy for when you think about it, because the season goes till, what was the championship game? The 24th, 20th, I think it was. Two months later, you'd be playing, or 3 months later, 3 months later to be playing a spring game. I understand it's just basically a walkthrough, but I think there's something to that. I think there's something to what Matt Rhule said.
So Matt Rhule's comments were, okay, so that's what Texas said. USC said, we can better allocate our money than this, and it's whatever. Rhule said that he firmly believes, and has evidence, you know, that he's not going to the NCAA with, but he said they tampered, that everyone watched Nebraska's spring game, picked the players that they like, and started calling them nonstop to transfer. So he doesn't want anyone watching who they have.
Look, it's probably paranoia, but honestly, if I'm Matt Rhule and I'm not a mid-major, because obviously it's high, but if I'm a mid Power 5 school like Nebraska, if I'm like Colorado, if I'm like a TCU or something, I'm not letting you watch our practices for free.
Yeah. Florida State's is canceled because they've got Doak under renovation. But they did say, Norvell did say, hey, look, you're going to see less and less of it. Our stadium's under construction, but I don't want another team to watch what we're doing after 15 practices.
And again, there's so much wrong with the calendar that it's going to be changed and fixed, whatever like that. The spring game will have to be after the second portal window if there's going to be a spring game. If it's
I think a spring game should just take go the way of like these skills challenges like
I
the
agree.
Pro Bowl.
Have
the spring
it,
game
yeah,
is,
fun.
Doesn't show you anything anymore. Now, obviously, these coaches in here do reference injury being a reality that if like some guy goes down, even in thud and yeah. non-contact, it's like, why even do this? We just lost him for the year, you know?
Yeah. And you can have another practice instead. It's just like, I think there's something to everything. And honestly, if I was the coach, I would kind of just try to make it fun, maybe make it like an interactive experience.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a fan day anyway.
Yeah, make it like a fan day type thing. Maybe you could fundraise a little bit out of it. Just I do think the days of just seeing guys play 11-on-11 for four quarters is
I'm not getting anything out of watching it in the fourth quarter when the back – I mean, it's fun to watch Whit Weeks get that pick, you know, at the end of it and house it. But he was also a top 100 player. I already knew he was good at football.
Yes,
I didn't need to see it.
Yeah, nothing shocked us there. But, yes, it is good. I think it's honestly a fascinating storyline because so much of, like, spring football –
It's happened in a hurry.
Yes, it's happened
been
very
bang, bang,
quickly.
Bang, bang, bang. Like, yeah. Good teams that pack out their games are the ones that right now we're good.
Yeah. And LSU typically does not pack out that game. So it's like, hey, just it's cool. Let it
be.
Like you could, they should have LSU, regardless of everybody else, should have been reimagining this thing anyways. And now everybody else is kind of like,
well, maybe they have been. Look, yes. We'll see.
All right.
That's it.
Under an hour, Shay.
I know. So let's go ahead and be quick. That's 9 minutes left, depending on ads.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about for 9 minutes here?
Nothing, because ad could have been placed. We might be higher than this. So let's just end it. Done.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. If you haven't already subscribed to the Bengal Tiger on 3.
$1 a week for a year.
Dollar
can
a week.
All, y'all can all support us. We're about to be crushing this content. So
yes.
Get on board.
Yeah, spring ball starts up. Was it March 8th? So we're less than 3 weeks away from that.
Get it.
And all the content continues to flow on the site every single day for everything you need as an LSU fan. So check all that out. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. We really appreciate all that. If you're on YouTube, leave us a like, comment, share, subscribe.
Yeah, that helps the algorithm. Drop a comment in the YouTube, a like.
Let us know how much you love this podcast.
We want it to get to more LSU fans.
Yeah, send it to a friend as well. If you haven't. But yeah, thank you all for joining us, and we will talk to y'all later.